I read the scripture and I found it fascinating. Because so often I feel like we think that waiting for the Lord is a matter of sitting on our dignity and expecting Him to do our work. But that's not what it says at all here. The psalm ends with wait for the Lord, but it begins by talking about what we should do. First of all, it says we should not be afraid. If God has proclaimed everlasting life for us, then death should hold no fear for us. And if we are not afraid of death, what is there that we should be afraid of? Nothing in this world. We know that we are beset at times by evil. Certainly David was challenged, struggled. A shepherd boy who became king. What enemies must he have had, both foreign and in his own household? And yet, he turns over and over again to God. Even when the enemy encamps around me, when you're in the middle of a war and you have the enemy surrounding you, what do? Most people would say you surrender and hope you live. But not David. When the enemy had him surrounded, he looked to God. He looked to God to lift him up. He looked to God to keep him safe. He looked to God for a place to live, not just in this world, but for all eternity. Whether it was hiding in God's shelter or having God place him on a high rock to be the center focus of all attention, David seeks to do God's will. We have a saying, a friend of mine and I, all things come to he who waits, as long as he who waits works while he waits. I've read that in Africa they have a saying, they say, when you pray, move your feet. That is, don't just pray and do nothing, but pray and work to accomplish your prayers. Betty's about to go see her mom who is sick and in need of help. Does she just sit here in Tallahassee and say, oh, God will take care of her? No, she goes. Someone she loves needs help. So would any of us. But we are asked to wait for the Lord. Now, it seems contradictory that we're supposed to go and do and take care of business, but wait for the Lord. I got to thinking about it, and I think that there's a real good reason why so many of the scriptures that talk about the Spirit of the Lord talk about it in terms of water. I don't know about your house, but at my house, the dirty dishes go in the sink and they soak for a while before anybody gets around to them. It makes it a whole lot easier to wash some of those pans if they had had water sitting in them for a little bit. And sometimes you go to wash those pans and that stuff is burned. I'm good at burning stuff sometimes. So that stuff that's burned on so good doesn't come off with soaking or washing. So then what do? Well, you soak it some more, but you soak it in something different, you know. Put in a little baking soda. Put in a little vinegar, you know. Find a way. Water changes things, but not necessarily suddenly or quickly. It changes things gradually. It flows. It moves. If you walked outside after our last rainstorm, you know that your lawn flowed and moved. The dirt in the driveway flowed and moved. Things changed. Sometimes they change a lot. We're not paying attention to the foundation, and the water is flowing and moving around it. It can suddenly decide it can't hold itself up anymore. God is like that. If God is flowing through our lives, if God is moving in our homes, if God is changing us and changing our lives, it may not be so obvious to us on a day-to-day basis what God is doing. But if we wait on Him, if we serve Him while we wait, if we ask for His grace and ask for His presence and ask for His love and ask for His protection and ask for His wisdom, then a time will come when people will look at us and go, "You're not the same person I remember. Something's changed. Something's different. What's happened?" And I have said at times, I am not the same person that you remember. I have God in my life now. And He has changed me. He does change me. He changes all of us if we open the doors of our heart. But so many times, we don't like change. We don't do change. We don't want change. We want things to be the same. We want things to be the way they were. We want things to continue on being comfortable. We want things to continue on being familiar. We want things to continue being what they've been being. But they can't. Nothing stays the same. And certainly nothing stays the same when faced with the water of the Spirit. It cleanses. It heals, it molds, it changes, and sometimes it washes away such that there is nothing left. David asked to live in the house of God forever, to be allowed to seek God's face. I found that fascinating because the belief in the Jewish tradition in those times was if you came face to face to God, with God, that His countenance, His glory, His power, His presence would be so overwhelming that it would kill you. Does David seek death? Perhaps in a way. Perhaps he seeks the death that comes with a transition, a transformation, a willingness to put himself in a place where God's glory will take him to another world. I can't imagine an easier way to go, a more wondrous moment than to suddenly see God in all His glory. David asked God to teach him. "Teach me your way, O Lord." We're asked to study the Word, to study the way, to seek the path that leads to love and to oneness with our Lord. And at the end of all of that comes these final verses. "I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." That's what we're all looking for, isn't it? To see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So what do we do now? Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage, because we can fear nothing if we are His. And so He asks us, wait for the Lord. Amen.